On the top of Daf Ches Amid Beis, and let's just review what we did on Ches Amid Aleph. We were speaking about a machlokas shin Abaye and Rava regarding a guma b'rishus harabim, and the guma is 9 tefachim deep, and Abaye says that the bnei adam that are over in rishus harabim, they put things down in this guma, and therefore the guma is considered part of the rishus harabim. Rava says that guma is called a tashmish al yedei dchak, and therefore it's not a rishus harabim. And if it's 4 tefachim wide, this guma, 9 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide, its din is that of a caramel. It's esvei. Now the Gemara brings a kasha of Rav Ada bar Ava from a braisa. And the braisa is talking about the dinim of Erev Tchumen. It's Kavin Lishbos, and the din of Erev Tchumen means it depends on where you could be Kona Shvisa on Erev Shabbos. And his Kavana was to be Kona Shvisa in Rishus HaRabim. And where did he put his Erev? The Erev, of course, is Mazon Shtei Sudos. And he puts it in a bar, which is somewhere near his Mokum Shvisa in a Rishus HaRabim. And now the Bryce is going to use a little bit of an ambiguous distinction here between when the Erev is Chal, when it's valid, and when it's not Chal. And Rav Ada bar Masna is going to try to clarify the meaning of the braisa. He's going to go through various options, reject some, until he finally comes to the right understanding of this braisa. So the language of the braisa is the following. It says the following. If it's lamala me'asar tefachim, then eruve eruv. If it's lamata me'asar tefachim, ein eruve eruv. Now, what we can say even before we get into the details is whether or not he could be motzi on Shabbos from, let's say, from the bar and bring something from inside the bar into his makom shvisa and eat it there, or vice versa. It depends upon whether the makom shvisa is in Rishus HaRabim and the Erev is in Rishus HaYochid. That's a no-no, because then he would not be able to take something from the Erev, which is in Rishus HaYochid, into Rishus HaRabim. And then he would not be Kona Shvisa. In order to be Kona Shvisa, he has to have, these are the fundamental tenets of Erev, that you have to have the ability during Shabbos to take that food and eat it. So that it's critical that the Erev now, in the case where he was Niskavim Likno Lishbos Rishus HaRabim, be in Rishus HaRabim, so that he can take the Erev and bring it into his Makom Shvisa and eat it. If, on the other hand, his Makom Shvisa Rishus HaRabim and the Erev is in Rishus HaYochid, that's not going to be a valid Erev. And now Rav Ada bar Masna is going to clarify the meaning of this price of Lamala Me'asar Tefachim and Lamata Me'asar Tefachim. What's the difference between the two? Until he finally asks his kash on Rava about a guma in Rishus HaRabim, which is 9 tefachim deep, and it's, according to Rava, it's a caramelist. It's not part of the Rishus HaRabim because it's not Tashmisho Tashmish. It's not a Tashmish. Al Yedei Dchak is not called Tashmish. Okay, fine. Heichi Domi. So what's the case of this price? That's Rav Ada bar Masna. Ilema, if we're talking in this price about a bar, the Isbe Asara, if it's a deep bar that has Asara Tefachim in depth, and then you have to imagine that on the sides of this bar there are various little chorim, and he wants to put his food into one of these chorim, and again the bar is 10 Tefachim deep. So what does Lamala mean? Lamala means that he leaves his Eruv above Asar Tefachim. Above Asar Tefachim. So I guess there's a char in the bar, and from that point in the char, all the way down to the bottom of the bar, the karkis habar, there is more than 10 tefachim. So in that case, which the Braisa identifies as lamala me'asar tefachim, is then didalei v'osvei. He has placed the bar, he has placed his eruv in the top of the bar above 10 tefachim from the karka. And then when it says, and that's going to be a valid eruv, but when it says in the seif, it says lamata me'asara, it means the tatoi v'osve, he lowered the eruv, he put the mezonos in within 10 tefachim from the bottom of the bar, the zachor is within those 10 tefachim. Is then, I don't understand this braisa. Why? Because mali lamala umali lamata. What difference does it make whether he places the eruv in the top part of the bar, which is above asar tefachim from the karkis habar, or below that? In both cases, since the bar is 10 tefachim deep, so it means that from the top of the bar until the bottom of the bar, it's all Rishus HaYochid. Because a bar that has a depth of 10 tefachim and a width of Arbal Arba tefachim has the Shiurim of Rishus HaYochid. And many times we've discussed that Rishus HaYochid is either above the karka or below the karka. It doesn't matter. As long as it's got 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim, it's the Rishus HaYochid. And then in both cases, no matter where he puts the eruv within this bar, it's inside of Rishus HaYochid. And his kavana was to be konish visa in Rishus HaRabim. There's no way possible that he could get access to the eruv and take it out of this bar. And that in the lashon of Rav Ada Bar Ava is hu b'makom echad ve'ruvo b'makom acher hu, which means that again we're talking about a case where the depth of the bar is asar tefachim and more, and the sfasa bar on top downwards is from the top of the bar and downwards it's all Rishus HaYochid, and he didn't put the Erev on the Sfasa bar, but rather inside the bar. No matter what level he puts it on inside the bar, his Kavana was to be Shoves in Rishus HaRabim, and the Erev itself is in Rishus HaYochid. There's no way he could take out this Erev from the bar, which is Rishus HaYochid, and take it out into his Makom Shvisa, which is in Rishus HaRabim. That would be a Meleches Hotzah. So that would not be an Erev. So Mimonavshach, whether or not it's above the 10 tefachim or below the 10 tefachim, wherever the Erev is, it's in a Rishus HaYochid, because this bar is a Rishus HaYochid. And this is the phrase that Chazal used, the terminology, Hu v'makom echad ve'eruv v'makom acher, means that that's like a kinui of the Chacham, an acronym for something, for a case in which he left the Erev, he placed the Erev in a place that he won't be able to take it from there, be Melechas Hotzah, to take it from there to the Makom that he was Shoves. Now let's assume that his Makom Shvisa is more than 4 Amos from the bar where the Erev is left, because if it's within Arba Amos, then his Erev would be a valid Erev, because he's within Arba Amos. And this is a sugya in Erevin, that a person has a radius of 4 amos around his makom shvisa. That's all knuyim lo. So anyone who puts his Erev within the 4 amos, it's as if he was shoves in the bar itself. And that's in Erevin. El alav. So Rav Ada Bar Masa says that by process of elimination, what it says in the Reisha Lamala Me'asar Tefachim Eruv Eruv, it's talking about a bar, the less Be'asar Tefachim, the bar is not 10 tefachim deep. Hence, it's not a rishus hayachid. And therefore, it's possible that the Eruv could be a valid Eruv. And we're going to talk about the two cases of the Reisha and the Sefer, and why the Reisha is a valid Eruv and the Sefer is not. K'toni Eruvei Eruv. Right? In the Reisha, we said his Eruv is valid. And the reason for that is because he's allowed to be motzi on Shabbos from the Mokum Erev in the bar and eat it in his Mokum Shvisa and Rishus Harabim. In the Seifa, which is Lamata Me'asar Tfachim, that means that the bar, the Karkois HaBar, is below Asar Tfachim. And it has what you call an airspace of Asar Tfachim, and that makes it into Rishus HaYochid, and therefore his Erev is a not valid Erev because he can't be Motzi. So that's already the simple, straightforward pshat in the Seif of Lamata Me'asar Tfachim, which means that the bottom of the bar is below Asar Tfachim, which makes it into Rishus HaYochid. But in the Reisha, we're talking about a bar that doesn't have a depth of Asar Tfachim, and therefore Eruv, Eruv. And he's allowed to be motzi. But wait a second. Rava was the one who said that when it comes to a guma in a Rishus HaRabim, which is exactly our case, Rava says that if the guma is 9 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim wide, it's a karmelis. Is Alma, we must assume from this price of that the bottom of the bar, the inside of the bar, is not considered a karmelis. And why is that? Because tashmish, al yedei chakshmei tashmish, that the people in the Rishus HaRabim could use this guma, this bar, which is not 9 tefachim, even though, again, it's not smooth, it's not gishmak, as we would say, but they could use it, and they put things there. And therefore, since the bar is Meshamish, it has a service for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, its status is that of Rishus HaRabim, because if you're going to hold like Rava, that Tashmish, Lav Shmei Tashmish, and therefore the bar is not considered a Mokum of Tashmish HaRabim, its status is that of a Karmelis. So, Mirabbanon, you're not allowed to take from Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis. Is therefore, how could it be Konish Visa? How could the Eruv be valid for him? When we say that an Eruv, the fundamental tenet of Hilchas Eruvin is that you have to have access to the Mazon that you set aside for an Eruv. And here, since this bar, Midrabanan, is considered a Karmelis according to Rav, and therefore you're not let it be Motzi from this Karmelis out into Rishus HaRabim. So it's again a case of Hu b'makom echad ve'ruvo b'makom acher. How could the Brisa say that the Erev is valid? This is a kasha on Rava, who says that a guma, which is 9 tefachim deep, is considered a Karmelis. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Zimnin de Mishani Le, and the Gemara says that Rava had two different answers to this question in his back pocket. And sometimes he would give one, and sometimes he would give the other. Zimnin Shani, sometimes Rava would answer Rava Adabar Master by saying, Huve Ruvo be Karmelis. That even though the Brisa says that he is in a Rishus, he was in Skabin Lishbos, Birshus Arabim, that's not what the Brisa means. Don't take the Brisa literally that he is in a Rishus HaRabim, but rather he is in a Karmelis. Let's say, for example, a Bika, we said an open area that's fields and so forth and so on, that's called a Karmelis. So in this Bika, there is a bar. And he is Niskavim Lishbos, not in a Rishus HaRabim as you read it literally, but in a Karmelis. And we're talking about a bar that's inside a Karmelis, like a Bika, and his Kavanah was Bishoves, someplace outside the bar. And since the bar does not have the depth of 9 tefachim, according to Rava, the status of this bar is that of a Karmelis. So both he and his makom shvisa and the erev are both inside a karmelis. And this is huvei ruva b'makom echad. The Brisa says that he was niskavim lishpos shesarabim. I correlate with shesarabim. The language shesarabim means lefisha eina rishos hayochid. We've seen this in the past, that sometimes, you know, the Mishnah, the Brisa, use the term rishosaram lafuke rishosayochid, but it could be it's a karmelis. And why is the Tana emphasizing that it's not a rishosayochid? By telling us that if the bar would be 10 tefachim deep, then his Erev would not be valid, because then the bar would be a rishos hayochid, and he's in a karmelis. So again, the Bryce is trying to tell us that this din of setting up this Erev in the bar would not apply if the bar would have been a Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, when the Bryce wants to introduce a valid Erev, it says that he was Kodesh Visa Rishus HaRab, meaning that it wasn't a Rishus HaYochid, because if it was a Rishus HaYochid, right, he said, it says, Niskavim Lishpos Rishus HaRabim. If it would be Rishus HaYochid, then you'd have a problem because the Erev is inside the bar, which is, to emphasize the Sefer, which says, Ein Eruv O Eruv, and the reason Ein Eruv O Eruv in the Sefer, when the bar is 10 tefachim deep, is because he wasn't Konish Visa and Rishus HaYochid. That's what it means by Rishus HaRabim. Let's say it was a chotzer, and it was surrounded by mechitzos, and he wants to be Konish Visa in that chotzer, which is in a Rishus HaYochid. Then if the bar is 10 tefachim deep, there's no problem with that Erev. How could the Braisa say that Lamata me'asor, if the bar is 10 tefachim deep, ein eruv ve'eruv? Of course, his eruv would be a valid eruv. Why? Because the eruv is in the chotzer. The chotzer is a rishus hayochid. And then he can take the eruv out of the bar to his makom shvisa in that same rishus hayochid, in that same chotzer. Everything is part of the rishus hayochid, and that would be perfect eruv. So the Braisa wants to emphasize that he was konish shvisa in a place which is a, which is not a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore, in the case where the bar in the sefer, in the where the bar is 10 tefachim deep, that it's not a valid Erev. By She'en Kein, in the Reisha is talking about a case where the bar is 9 tefachim deep. Where is he? He's in a bikkah. The bar that's 9 tefachim deep, according to Rava, because Tashpisa the Chaklav Shemitach is a karmelis, and he's in a karmelis, and therefore it's Huve Ruva b'makom echad. That's the ratio in the case of a bar. But why did the Mishnah, why did the Braisa use the terminology of Hu Rishus HaRabim? It meant to emphasize that he's not in a Rishus HaYochid. Because if this bar was in a Chatzer, and he wanted to be Konish Visa in the Chatzer, then the bar, insofar as if it would be Asar Tfachim Deep, would not be a Karmelis, it would be part of the Rishus HaYochid, because it has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. It's 10 Tfachim Deep, and it's 4 Tfachim Wide. So that was the first answer of Rava. Now Rava gives a second answer. V'zimnin d'mishani lei. Sometimes Rava would answer, Hu birshus harabim. When it says niskami lishpos shus harabim, let's take it literally. And it means that he was in a rishus harab mamish. Ve'eruvo be'karmelis. And elchinami in the ratio where the bar is less than 10 tefachim, it's 9 tefachim deep, which according to Rava makes the bar into a karmelis, the Erev is valid. Now, how could the Erev be valid if the Erev is in a karmelis and he's in Rishus HaRabim? And the answer is that we're talking about Bein Hashmoshos. He put the Erev down, Bein Hashmoshos. And now we introduce one of the most famous principles in Hilchos Shabbos of Rebbe. And how could you, if you're asking the Kasha, how could his Erev be valid? How could he be Motzi on Shabbos, this Erev from a Karmelis into a Rishus HaRabim? The Omar Rebbe holds, and this is a sheet of Rebbe and Erev in Daf Lamed Gimel, Kol Dover Shehu Mishum Shvus, Lo Gazru Olav Bein Hashmoshos. So Bein Hashmoshos, which we call, let's just be very simplistic about it. Overly simplistic. It's a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And that's an Isur Shvus Derabbanan. So if you have an Isur Shvus Derabbanan during Bein HaShemashos, which is not Avadi Shabbos, then Lo Gozru Bei Rabbanan. So it means that even though on Shabbos itself, there would certainly be no heta to take this error from the bar, according to Rabbah, the bar 9 tefachim deep is a caramelist, and bring it back to his makom shvisa and rish sarabim. But nevertheless, what's critical here is one particular frame of time, and that is the chalois ha'erev. When did he set up the erev? And in this particular case, in the brisa, he set up the erev in Bein HaShemashos. And at that point, there is no iser of hotzah mikarolus ushsarabim, because hotzah mikarolus ushsarabim is only a shvus. And Rabbanan did not insist or institute a shvus in a Bein HaShemashos period of time. So at the time of the chalos ha'erev, which is Bein HaShemashos, when he put the erev down, it would be mutter to take from this bar where he put the Eruv, which is a caramelist, into his Rishus HaRabim, because right now the Rabbanon are suspending their Issa, delaying it until Vare Laila, and therefore Mutal Ahachnes is Eruv El Mokum Shvisoso, which is in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore his Eruv is Chal. 5 minutes later it's going to be a caramelist, there'll be an Issa, so on Shabbos itself, Lamaisa, he won't be able to implement this Heter and take the Eruv from the caramelist into the Rishus HaRabim, but nevertheless, the Erev is Chal, because at the moment of the Chalos Erev, at the moment of Bein HaShemashos, there is no Iser of Hotzom in Karmelis HaRabim, because Kol Dover Shehu Mishum Shvus Lo Gozu Bei Rabon in Bein HaShemashos. And if we were learning this Be'iyun, we would have to analyze two things. One, Silchus Erevin, and why the Erev depends on the moment of Chalos HaErev, when he put it down. And secondly, we'd have to analyze the status of a caramelist. When the Rabbanan instituted a caramelist, you call it a shvus. What is that? Is that a malacha? If it's a malacha, it should be also even in Bein HaShemashos. Apparently, it's only a shvus. And this concept reminds us a little bit of Gzeira L'Gzeira, but I don't think that that's the right way of going, but that's enough for us now on a simplistic level. There's a lot more to talk about over here. So again, let's just go over this. According to Rava's first answer, the Brice is talking about a person who is Shoveis but Carmelis, and the Lushan of the Brice of Rishus HaRab means that it's not a Rishus HaYochid. And if that be the case, we're not going according to Rebbe, because, you know, in this particular case, if the bar, even if the bar would be 10 tefachim deep, and it would be a vadei rishus hayochid, the Erev would be an Erev according to Rebbe, because the din of Bein HaShemashos would be that he would be allowed to take it from an Erev, he'd be allowed to take the Erev from the bar, which is Rishus HaYochid, to the Makom Shvisa, which is a caramelist. Because again, the Isar itself from Rishus HaYochid to a caramelist only to Rabbanan, and it's Bein HaShemashos. So therefore, quite clearly, the first answer of Rava is not in line with Rebbe, because even if it were, that even if the bar would be 10 tefachim, the Erev would still be valid in Bein HaShemashos because of Rebbe's principle, which would allow you to take from a Karmel's Tushas HaYochid, at least at that moment in time, Bein HaShemashos, hence the Erev would be Chal. Now, Rava takes a step back and he says to Rava Adabar, Rava, don't think that all these terutzim that I'm coming up with is just simply that I have an agenda here to try to defend my shita about a bar test in Rishus HaRabim. Lo tema dechuye ka madchina la. All these answers that I'm giving you from the Brises, I'm just trying to be docha yakasha, but the emphasis is that Abaye is right, that a guma or a bar that's less than 9 tefachim deep in Rishus HaRabim has the status of Rishus HaRavim, Eladavka Karmina Lecha, it's Emes Lamito, says Rava, that Tashmish Al Yedei Chak is not considered Tashmish, and therefore the bar of the Guman Rishus HaRavim is not Rishus HaRavim. This not, and I'll prove this to you from a Mishnah later on in Perek HaZorei, in a Ke'et Adav Kuf Amid Beis. And the Mishnah says the following. Now, we're talking about something called a rakak mayim, which means you have kind of wet soil. The adama is really made up of kind of like wet cement or refes, you know, some sort of a mud. And there's water that floats on top of the surface of this refes, of this rakak. Now notice that as we go through the Lashon of Mishnah, there's a kind of a double, this kind of superfluous language in this Mishnah. It says, Imhoya rakak mayim, urishus haram maleches bo. In other words, the Bnei Rishus Ram will step into this mud, right? Like, you know, after rain, sometimes you know, you have muddy, like little, inlets of mud on the ground, is then the status of this rakak, since the Bnei Rishus HaRavim over in Ba'osach HaTak Braglem, they go in with their feet, is that of a Rishus HaRavim. So let's say you're standing at a distance of 4 amos away from this rakak mayim, and you throw it, and it lands in the rakak mayim, is then he's chayav, because he was ma'avir 4 amos Rishus HaRavim. V'kama hu, what's the depth of this rakak mayim? And the answer is, says the Mishnah, it's pachos me'asara tfachim. Because if it's deeper than arbot tfachim, then asara tfachim, then it becomes a karmelus, and he would be potter. Now the reason it's a karmelus is because it's so deep that it's cholik rishus liatzmo, so it's not part of the rishus harabim. It doesn't have the shirim of Rishus HaYochin, and therefore it becomes a karmelus. Now, the Mishnah seems to, at this point, repeat itself a second time. Rakak mayim shirishus ram aleches bo azorik l'soch arba amas chayev. So what is the purpose of the Mishnah repeating itself, almost word for word? So here's where Rava comes to interpret the Mishnah. And he says the following. Bishlama, I understand why the Tana repeats himself, and he says, rakak mayim trei zimni. Why? Chad, one of them, is for Erish Sarambi Mos Hachama. The Chad, he wants to tell me a chiddush that's Rishus HaRavim even bimos hagashamim utzricha. I need both during the rainy season and during the summer season. If the Tana would have told me this din and the status of the rakak mayim as Rishus HaRavim bimos hachama, I would say that only bimos hachama it has a din of Rishus HaRavim, because it has a purpose. It serves the Rabbim during this period of time. Davidi inshi lekrure nafshe. Again, it's hard for us to imagine the mitzias here, but it's very hot. Maybe his feet are boiling or so forth and so on. So he goes into this rakak and he cools himself off from the heat. Avol bimos hagshamim. You don't need to cool yourself off during the rainy, cold winter season. Ema, I would think that this rakak is not considered Rishus HaRavim. E ashmeinim bimos hagshamim. When it's rainy and it's muddy and everything else, is agam tanfe mikri v'nachis. You know, since he's going through the Rishus HaRavim, which is already muddy, so he goes through this area which has, let's say, more of a concentration of cement, you know, of cement and so wet cement. So it's considered that it's very common, or it could happen that he goes into the rakak. But bimos hachamah, when there's no muddy tit all around the place in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then he doesn't want to go into the, you know, into the, he doesn't want to get dirty and muddy and soiled by going sullied into, by going into this rakak. And therefore, I might think that it's not something that's derech harabim l'shtamisham. And below, and it's not considered Saram Tzrich. So the Tana has to tell me twice the din of Rakak. Ella, but Hiluch Lomali, Trezimni Lomali. Why does it have to tell me twice that Rishu Saram Maleches? Why does it have to say it twice? The Mishnah did not have to repeat that Rosh Hashanah Maleches spoke twice. It could have said Rakak Mayim and Rosh Hashanah Maleches spoke once. And again, when he tells you the shear of Rakak Mayim, that it's less than Asar Tvachim, he could have said Rakak Mayim Chayev, Hazorik Lusokha Chayev. He didn't have to repeat that Rosh Hashanah Maleches spoke. So what's Rosh Hashanah Maleches spoke Trey Zimni? Since again, he's coming to tell me about the status of this Rakak, that it has both in Yemosak Shom and Yemosak Chama a din of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Why does he have to repeat Rakak Mayim Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? He could have just said Rakak Mayim Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Zorik L'Sokha Chayv. Why do you have to repeat himself and say again the Rabbim, the Rabbim Aleches Bo? What's the Rabbim Aleches Bo? Elav Shmamina. The justification for this double language, this seemingly superfluous language, is that Hiluch al Yideat Chak Shmei Hiluch. That the Mishnah wants to tell us that Hiluch al Yideat Chak Shmei Hiluch, that when the Rabbim go into this this place which is called a Rakak, and it's not Noach, it's not really comfortable, but Shmei Hiluch, nevertheless, since they go in there, the Ravim, on certain occasions, right, that causes the Mokom to be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But let's say it's Ein Bo Hiluch Rabbim, like, for example, a Guma or a Bar, and that's Tashmish Al Yedei Dchak, Lo Shmei Tashmish, then it's not called a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So there's a difference here between Hiluch and Tashmish. When you're talking about Hiluch, then you could say that sometimes they go into that area, and the Brice wants to tell you that only the Hiluch makes it into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But if you're talking about Tashmish making it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because Latz Darko Latz Liabo Chafotzim, so then in the case of a Bar or a Guma, which is 9 Tvachim deep, that's not a real Tashmish, that can't make the place into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but rather its din is a Carmelis Shmamina. And the Gemara says, Shmamina, that you see from this Mishnah that Tashmish the Rabbim Al Yidei Dechak is not called Tashmish, it's only Hiluch Rabbim Al Yidei Dechak is called Hiluch, and it makes it into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now the Gemara is going to clarify the din of someone who carries an object which four amas in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but he doesn't pick it up and lift it up off the ground and put it down. It's always partially on the ground as he moves it through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Om Rav Yehuda, Hai Zirza Dekani, he's got a chavila, he's got a bundle of long poles, Konim Aruchim. Then what he does is, and this he's allowed to do, is Roma, well, I don't know if he's allowed to do it, but anyway, this is not called Avaris Dalet Amis, we might be also the Rabbanon, but Roma Vizakfe, Roma Vizakfe. In other words, he can throw it on one end and then turn it upside down and throw the other end, and he keeps throwing it in that way, in which there's, at every second of the day, part of the Chavila, part of this bundle, is always on the ground. He never actually lifted it totally off the ground. He says he was magbia kotza echad, but the kotza sheni is still munach bimkomo, komo rishon. Then he was choser magbia the kotza sheni, and then the first part of the bundle is still munach agabi karka. It's in that case when he is able to move it back and forth for four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, lo mechayve, that's not considered mavir arba amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because it never had an akira of the entire chavila off the karka. And if you're oker part of a chafetz, that's not considered as if you were oker the entire chefetz. And this is based on a gemara that we learned back on Daf Ches, and therefore ad the oker le. The gemara says shelo yalu lemala me'asara. This is on Daf Ches that the anocha sachefetz is not considered anocha unless the entire chefetz is nach in a makom chiyuv. That's as far as hanoch is concerned. The flip side of this equation would be akira. That the akira again has to be that the entire chefetz is nekar, and at one moment there's an akira on the entire chefetz. And this is the explanation of the sugi based on Rashi. Now, we can add the shita of the Rambam, that he in Perek Gimel also seems to interpret the same way. So the question only that we have is a case of Megara Chefetz Arba Amos Jusarabim, which is clearly Chayav. So you're going to have to say that in that case the entire Chefetz is Nekar Mimkom Vas Achas. And even though, again, it's not lifted up off the Karka, but it's being dragged in one fell swoop, as opposed to the case of Rabbi Yehuda of the Zirza Dekani, where it's going back and forth, in which part of it is standing on the karka, then the other part is standing on the karka. So again, Chaza v'niach sachavila la karka, if he picks up the chavila and he puts down the karka and kvar nekra, it's nekra, this completely removed from the first place, that's a pe'ula which you're chayef for, but pe'ula is a kifa, and hanocha is a kifa, hanocha is a kifa, hanocha, since it's never nekar mimkomo, then that's not considered an akira. Now, some ask the question, isn't this a dover poshut, that if there was no akira on the entire chayefetz, how could it be chayef? What exactly is the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda? Those who ask this question want to claim that our Havamina would be that since it's Rogil for people in cases of these long Chavil, you know, the Chavil of long Kanim, that's the way you can get it from one place to the other, in the simplest way, Rama Zakfe, it should be considered like one Pul Achas, like the case of Gorer. And we had a Gemara back on Daf Heyam and Beis about Omid Lakatef, and we said that even though technically he is stationary for that second, but he's only doing a lakatev to make sure that the, you know, that the package on his back is balanced in the right way, he's chayav. And it's not as if he made a hanoch in the middle. So Rabbi Yehuda wants to tell you that Rami v'Zakvi is not the same din. And the reason why it's not the same din is because in this case of Hotzah, where he stops at every single point, that's not called Derech Hotzah, for which you're chayav in the Torah. And there's a long discussion about this in the Chazon Ish. So that's the last three words here in Rabbi Yehuda. The statement is ad di okel, until he's magbir the entire chavila from the karka, and then he carries it, and he transfers it for Amos Sarabim, only then will he be chayav. The Gemara now goes back to the Brisa back on Daf Vav and Aleph, which had pinpointed the different places for the Arba Rishus V'Shabbos Omer Mar Adam. We had a Brisa, and now we want to analyze this Brisa. Adam Omid Al Iskupa, the Iskupa is the threshold, V'Notel, and he takes a Chefetz from the Balabais. The Balabais is always the one who's inside in the Rishus HaYachid. And he takes it out of, you know, the person who's standing on the threshold takes it out of the hands of the Baal HaBayis, who's in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and he puts it down in the Iskupa. And in the flip case, no saying lo, if he gives him a chefetz that was on the Iskupa, and he gives it to the Baal HaBayis, and now the Baal HaBayis puts it down in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or notel may ani v'nosein lo, or for example, the ani who's omed in Brishas Arabim, he puts it down in the Iskupa, or alternatively, he gives the object into someone who's standing on the Iskupa. All these cases are permissible because we're assuming that the Iskupa is a makom p'tur. and therefore the chayfetz never was transferred from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara now analyzes Hayeskupa Mai. What is the status of this Eskupa? What is this Eskupa that we said you're allowed to be metaltil from the Eskupa into Rishus HaYachid or into Rishus HaRabim or vice versa? Ilema, if it's an Eskupa Rishus HaRabim, in other words, if the Eskupa is considered Rishus HaRabim, let's say, for example, it's on the threshold between the Rishus HaRabim and a Mavui. So you have the Rishus HaRabim on the outside. Then you go on to the Eskupa as you go into this Mavui. And in that case, it's open roofed. In other words, there's no roof on top of the Eskupa. And he sets up a Lechi, because in order to be Matid Tiltilit a Mavui, you need a Lechi. Is then, where is this Eskupa? If this Eskupa is inside the Mavui, that's going to be the first case that we want to deal with. It's inside the Mavui. Just 1 second. And again, there's no Tikra, as we said before. The Balabayas is Omei Brishus HaYochid, right? And it says in the Braisa, Notel mi Balabayas, Umedichal Eskupa. Well, if the Eskupa is an extension of the Rishus HaRabim, which means that the, let's say, for example, there's no, as we said before, there's no tikra on top of the Eskupa, the Lechi is mata the tiltil in the Mavui, but nevertheless, the Miftan itself, let's say it's less than 3 tefachim from the Karka Rishus HaRabim, then if you're standing on the Miftan, or let's say you're taking something from the Balabais who's in Rishus HaYochid, and you're putting it down on the, it says here you're allowed to put it down from the Balabais onto the Eskupa, HaMapik Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim, that would be, in effect, Meleches Hotzah, because the Miftan has the status of Rishus HaRabim. You're taking it from the Balabais who's in the Rishus HaYochid, putting it down on the Miftan, that can't be Mutter. The Ella, but rather, we're going to have to assume that the Eskupa Rishus HaYochid, that we're talking about a case where the Eskupa, which is between the Mavi and the Rishus HaRabim, is under the Tikra of the Mavi, it's under the ceiling, and therefore it has the din of Rishus HaYochid. Or, for example, let's say that the Eskupa is with inside the Lechi. Well, let's say it's an Eskupa which is Asar Tvachim high, and it has the width of Arba Alba. And therefore, we understand that it's Rishus HaYochid, and he can take from the Balabais and put it down on the Eskupa. But how do we understand the Sefer? The Sefer says, Notel Mina Ani, that he's allowed to take it from the hands of the Ani who's standing in Rishus HaRab on the outside and put it down on the Eskupa, which is now Rishus HaYochid on Kamiyayil. Now, what he's doing here is he's being machnis something from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, because the Ani is now putting it down. I'm sorry, notel means he's taking it from the Ani who's at Rishus HaRabim, he's putting it down in the Eskupa, means he's taking it into Rishus HaYochid. Ella, but rather, we have to assume that the Eskupa is what's called an Eskupa's Carmelis. Where is this Eskupa located, this threshold? It's in the Rishus HaRabim. And it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. But it's not 10 tefachim high. And therefore, if that be the case, then we don't understand neither the Reish and the Sefer, because it says notel v'nosin l'chatchila. It can't be nosin v'notin l'chatchila. Sof isurimia, it's a violation of a derabanan, because it's taking from a Rishus HaYochid into a Carmelis, or vice versa, Rishus HaRabim into a Carmelis. Ella, by process of elimination, we must be talking about an Eskupa b'makom p'tur b'almahu. This Eskupa is only a makom p'tur. It's not the case that we said before, Eskupas Carmelis, that has a rochav of arbal arba tefachim, and it is lower than 10 tefachim, but rather we're talking about a case of an Eskupa can go into less be arbal arba tefachim. It doesn't have the width of 4 by 4 tefachim, and that's what we call like a makom mesuyam. We call it a hydrant. It's rosho, its top is a little bit wide. It's above 3 tefachim, so it doesn't have the status of the karka. and it's samach lushusa yach lushusa ramen. And in that case, we have what's called a makom tur. V'chi ha d'chi asa rav dimi or rav yochanan, like the din that we had in the tradition of rav dimi, who brought from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel the statement of rav yochanan. That makom she'ein bo arbal arba tfachim, if you don't have a width of arbal arba, that's called a makom tur. And if it's located between Rish Saram and Rish Sayyachid, Muta Libnei Rish Sayyachid, and Vagam Libnei Rish Saram Lakatef Olav, he can take off his masoi, you know, from his back. He's got this bundle on his back, and he wants to fix it up. He can use this makom ptur wherever he is, whether he's in Rishus Sayyachid or he's in Rishus Sarabim, ubilvad shelo yachlifu, lo yolachlifu. In other words, he can't be machlif from Rishus Sayyachid to Rishus Sarabim. In other words, if he's standing in Rishus Sayyachid, he can't put down the masui that's on top of him in a makom ptur and then take it into Rishus Sarabim. Because that would be an Issa d'Rabbanan, as we discussed in the past, because it's nearer, it appears as if he's being motzi m'shus l'shus, and people are going to come to violate the Issa achnasa otzah from Rishus Sayyachid to Rishus Sarabim, even without the hefsek of a makom ptur. And that we learned on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Ubilvad shelo yitol mi bal habayis v'nosin l'ani me'ani v'nosin l'bal habayis. But if he himself is using it in that particular rishus, and he wants to use the l'katev, and he's going to take advantage of this subject, which is a makom ptur, that he's allowed to do. Okay then, so we got down to Omar Mar, which is five lines up from the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Beis.